بسم الله. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد. So we have briefly covered in the last 5 or 6 lectures concerning the fiqh of marriage, and we've summarized the basic essential components of marriage. We haven't gone into great detail because of the time and the class format, but inshallah we've gone over the bare essentials, what we need to know about the fiqh of marriage. Now I move on to the fiqh of divorce, the kitab al-talaq. Or we say divorce, but in reality we mean anything that breaks the marriage. Okay? So we say the book of divorce or the chapter of divorce, but in fact there are a number of things that break the marriage. Okay? Firstly, there is annulment. In Arabic you call it fasakh. Firstly, there's annulment of the marriage. You call it fasakh. We already gave some examples of annulment. Who can give me an example? We already talked about this. Exactly. Annulment basically has to do with a factor that is in general outside the will of the spouse, either of the two spouses. In other words, you don't will an annulment. You don't break your marriage through an annulment. It just happens through external means. For example, a man and a woman are married and it is discovered, for example, that they were foster brother or sister, which they didn't know about at the time of the marriage. So the marriage is automatically annulled. Fasakh, we call it. Or, for example, what might happen in this country, we've heard of these type of cases, where one of the two spouses becomes a non-Muslim. They're both Muslims, okay? One of the two spouses leaves Islam, and they, or he or she, becomes a non-Muslim, okay? So the marriage is annulled, fasakh, okay? And we already gave some examples of fasakh before this, but the point is, this is not something that you bring about. If you want to end the marriage, you don't go through fasakh. It just occurs because of an external factor, okay? So this is one of the ways that the marriage is broken or finished. We call it fasakh or annulment, okay? In an annulment, by the way, because we're talking about it, there is the waiting period of one menstrual cycle, 1 month, or one menstrual cycle, in general, there are exceptions, but in general, in an annulment, you don't wait a whole pre-menstrual cycle like you do in a divorce. It's just a waiting period of one menstrual cycle, okay, or if she doesn't menstruate, then 1 month, okay, in general, there are exceptions to the rule. So this is the first way that we end the marriage, or that a marriage is ended, through annulment, fasakh. And we said that in general this is outside the will of the male or the female. You don't end the marriage through annulment, it is annulled automatically through, because of an external factor. Okay? The most common way that a marriage is ended is number two, and that is talaq, or divorce. Okay? The most common way that a marriage is ended is through talaq or divorce, where the man pronounces the divorce on his wife. Okay? This is the most common way to end the marriage, and that is why we call the whole chapter Kitab al-Talaq, or the chapter of Talaq, because it is the most common and the most detail that we're going to go into discussion of. So before we jump into that, we want to briefly go over the other ways that a marriage is ended. Number three is, in Arabic, khula. Khula. Okay? Kha-la-ayn. Kha-lam-ayn. Khula. What is khula? Khula is when the wife pays her husband to divorce her. Okay? The wife will give her husband a sum of money to end the marriage. Okay, so this is separate from divorce, from talaq, and we're going to talk about the differences either today or in the next lesson, inshallah. So the third way to end a marriage is through khula. These three ways are the most common. The other two, three ways that we're just going to mention are not common at all. That is why we're not going to discuss them in detail. If you like, the fourth way that a marriage is ended is through something called zihar. Okay? Zihar. Dha. Not a dhad. A dha. Ha alif ra. Okay? The fourth way is zihar. The fifth way is ila hamza. Ya lam alif hamza. And the sixth way is li'an, or mutual cursing. Li'an. Okay? There are 6 ways that a marriage is ended. It has to be through one of these 6 ways. The first 3 are the most common, and these are the ones that we're going to go into the greatest detail. The other 3 we'll just zoom over quickly, give 1-line definitions for. Now we jump into Kitab al-Talaq, or the chapter concerning talaq. And we say that it is of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He has given us the concept of talaq. And this goes against what religion? In particular, Catholicism. Okay? Catholics, they don't believe in divorce. Catholics do not believe in divorce. Till death do they depart. This is what they say. Till death are they going to remain in marriage. Okay? And this is of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has given us this thing called divorce, because not every man is going to be compatible with every woman, and vice versa. Not every man and woman are going to be a perfect match and they're going to live their lives together. They can't do it. Sometimes there's just human fitrah, not even an Islamic reason, human fitrah, that the man and the woman, they cannot get along with one another. Okay? So it is of the wisdom of Allah that He has assigned for us and He has given us the output known as divorce, where a person can get out of his marriage. Now in general, divorce is something which is discouraged in Islam. Divorce is something which is discouraged in Islam. Okay, this is a general ruling. What do we say about the general ruling of marriage? What is marriage? Encouraged. Okay, the exact opposite is divorce, and it is the exact opposite in its ruling. It is discouraged in general. Okay, so to divorce a woman for no reason is something that is discouraged in Islam. Okay, it is not good, it is not rewarding to divorce a woman for no reason. Okay, this is because there are certain weak narrations in which the Prophet ﷺ said that is reported to have said that the worst allowable thing to Allah is divorce. Okay, and another hadith which is even weaker than the first one, that the throne of Allah shakes when a divorce occurs. This is even weaker than the first one. But the point is, the concept is authentic in that divorce is something that is discouraged in Islam. It is not encouraged. It is not a rewarding act in general. Okay, whereas marriage is a rewarding act. Okay, but in certain situations, it becomes allowed. Mubah becomes allowed. This is when the man and the woman cannot get along together. There is some type of marital discord that leads to the state that the man cannot live with the woman and vice versa. So it takes a status higher than being discouraged, it becomes allowed to do. Okay. In other cases, it becomes encouraged or even obligatory to do. Can someone think of a situation where it will become encouraged or even obligatory? Well, this is not divorce. Divorce goes back to the man. You're talking about khula. For example, the scholars give an example. No, then the marriage will be annulled. It's not a divorce. If someone converts, if a man converts to Christianity, that marriage is annulled. To give a more specific example, to the ones that they usually mention, when the man finds out, for example, that his wife is not being loyal to him, that she is being lewd in her character, or even going to the extreme of having intercourse with other men. Okay, some ulama say it becomes obligatory for the man to divorce his wife, because he doesn't know whether the child will be his or not. Okay, so some ulama say, this is one opinion, that it becomes obligatory in this situation to divorce the woman in that situation. Okay, or for example, when she is not practicing Islam, when she is not praying, and he tries to make her pray and force her to pray, but she doesn't pray, some ulama say it becomes strongly encouraged in this case to divorce. So the general rule is that it is discouraged. In this particular situation, it becomes encouraged to divorce. So when the woman is not a practicing Muslimah, when she is not practicing Islam the way that it should be practiced. So the general ruling concerning divorce is that it is something that is discouraged. Sometimes it becomes allowed, sometimes it becomes, you know, encouraged, and sometimes some ulama even say it becomes obligatory. Okay, but the general ruling is that divorce is a discouraged act to do. Tayyib. Now, we have to talk about various types of divorce. Okay, so we move to a different section now, the various types of divorce. Like we've said over and over again, there are various ways to look at anything. When you look at, for example, the animal kingdom, you can divide it into those animals that fly, those animals that don't fly. You can divide it into those animals that have four legs, or animals two. You're dividing the same thing into different ways. Likewise, divorce has different ways of looking at it. So don't get confused when you define different ways of divorce. There are different perspectives to look at divorce, or different classifications of divorce. The first classification is revocable divorce and irrevocable divorce. Okay? So, under the classifications or the types of divorce, the first classification is revocable divorce and irrevocable divorce. What does revocable mean? You can take it back, you can change it. What does irrevocable mean? You can't change it. So, what is a revocable divorce? The revocable divorce is defined to be that type of divorce in which the husband has the right to cancel the divorce and take his wife back. Okay? So the revocable divorce is defined to be that type of divorce in which the husband has the right to cancel the divorce, change his mind, and take his wife back. And in order for this to be met, two conditions must be met. The first condition is that this is the first or the second time that he is divorcing this particular woman. Okay? The first or the second time. What happens when the third time? It becomes irrevocable, which we're going to come to now. So it's either the first time he's divorcing his wife, or the second time he's divorcing his wife. The second condition is that the woman must be in her waiting period. The woman must be in her waiting period. And we're going to define waiting periods next lesson. But right now, just write down waiting period, the iddah. We're going to define what it is in the next lesson, because it changes depending on the situation. But the point is, there must be a certain period that the woman is in. So let me give you an example. A man divorces his wife for the first time. Okay? He says to her, you are now divorced from me. Now, the woman is in her waiting period, which in general, like we're going to come to, is 3 menstrual cycles. 3 menstrual cycles is the general waiting period, but there are other exceptions, we're going to talk about them in the next lesson. So it's her 2nd menstrual cycle, for example. He changes his mind and he says, okay, I want you back. Does it matter whether the woman wants to come back or not? No. Does he need a new marriage contract? No. Does he need a new mahar? No. Does he need her wali to approve again of the marriage? No. Is that clear? An irrevocable divorce, the revocable divorce, the authority is in the man's hand. It is his right to change his mind. It is his right to take her back. Whether she wants to or not, whether the wali agrees or not, it doesn't matter. And you don't need a new marriage contract, you don't need a new mahar, you don't need a new 2 witnesses, no. As long as it is within her waiting period and it is the 1st and 2nd time of divorce. Okay? This is why Allah says in the Quran that وَبْعُولَتُهُنَّ أَحَقُّ بِرَدِّهِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ إِنْ أَرَادُوا إِصْلَاحًا. Their husbands have more of a right to take them back if they want to repair the situation, repair the marriage. This is Surah Baqarah, verse 200 and something. Where the verses all talk about divorce, this is where this ayah also occurs. That their husbands have more of a right, roughly around 230. Their husbands have more of a right to take their wives back if they want to repair the marriage situation. So Allah clearly states in the Quran that the husband has the right to take the marriage back. Doesn't matter whether the woman wants it or not, doesn't matter whether her wali, her guardian wants it or not, they don't need a new marriage contract. At this stage, it is a revocable divorce, he has the right to take the woman back. Okay? So, what are the 2 conditions for a revocable divorce? It is either the 1st or 2nd divorce, and the 2nd condition is that she is in her waiting period. Now, if either of these 2 conditions are not met, what happens? It becomes an irrevocable divorce. Okay? It becomes an irrevocable divorce. Now, so we get now to the second category of irrevocable divorce. An irrevocable divorce is also divided into 2 subcategories. Don't get confused now. What are we talking about right now? Revocable and irrevocable, right? We define revocable divorce, and we said that it has 2 conditions. Now, irrevocable divorce, it also has 2 subsections to that, or 2 subcategories. The first one is the minor irrevocable divorce. Okay? The minor irrevocable divorce, and what do you think the second one is? The major irrevocable, obviously. The major irrevocable divorce. The minor irrevocable divorce is when the husband has divorced his wife for the 1st or 2nd time, but, guess, the waiting period has expired. The waiting period has finished. Why is it called a minor irrevocable divorce? Because the husband does not have the right to change his mind about the divorce. The divorce has taken into effect, but he is allowed to remarry his wife if she agrees. And there is a new marriage contract, and her wali agrees, and there are 2 witnesses, and there is a mahr. Okay? Is that clear? The difference between the minor irrevocable divorce and the revocable divorce. The minor irrevocable divorce, when does it occur? When the husband has divorced his wife for the 1st or 2nd time, and the waiting period has expired, has finished. Okay? So the man says to his wife, you are now divorced. Three menstrual cycles have expired. As soon as that menstrual period has expired, the woman is now officially divorced. Now he wants to remarry the woman. If the woman says no, can he remarry her? No. If she says yes, do they need a new marriage contract? Yes. Do they need a new mahar? Yes. Do they need another 2 witnesses? Yes. Does her wali have to agree? Yes. All of these conditions have to be met. In the sense that her wali has to be present. Okay, the wali has to be there. Okay, so all of these conditions have to be met. It's a very good point, but I was just going, all of these conditions have to be met of a new marriage. So this is why it is called minor, because you can still get married. It is called irrevocable because the husband doesn't have the right to take his wife back. She must agree to that. Okay, so do you understand the difference then between this one and the 1st category? Everyone understands. Anyone gets confused, raise his hand. Okay, don't be embarrassed. If you don't understand, someone else didn't understand also. Everyone understands the difference? Okay, the major irrevocable divorce, when do you think that occurs? After the 3rd divorce. After the 3rd divorce is when it is called major irrevocable divorce. Why is it major? Can the man remarry the woman? Even if she agrees? No. We said in Islam, 3 strikes and you're out, right? 3 divorces, and the man does not have the right to remarry that woman unless and until what? She remarries another man, a correct marriage, we said. Remember, a correct marriage. In other words, the man wanted to marry the woman and the woman wanted to marry that man. They didn't do it just to make her halal for her first husband. This is zina. This is fornication. We talked about this last week. A correct marriage, they marry it, and then that marriage breaks apart, either due to divorce or the death of the husband. Then she can remarry the first husband if she desires. So this is called a major irrevocable divorce. That the only way that the first man can get back to the woman is if the woman marries a second man, a proper marriage, and that marriage is annulled or destroyed, and then she can marry the first one. So do you understand the two types of divorce, revocable and irrevocable? Everyone clear with that, right? Revocable divorce and irrevocable divorce. And irrevocable is also divided into two subcategories, minor irrevocable and major irrevocable. Now move to another definition of divorce. Now we move to another section, another chapter of the types of divorces. We call it the Sunni type of divorce, the Sunnah type of divorce, and the Bid'ah type of divorce. Okay? Talaq al-Sunni and Talaq al-Bid'i. What is the proper, the Sunnah way to divorce a woman, and what is the improper or the Bid'i way to divorce a woman? Okay? So we move to another section. We're still talking about the same thing, the various classifications of Talaq. Right? The first classification was based upon revocability. The second classification is based upon the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. What is the proper way to divorce a woman and what is the improper way to divorce a woman? And believe me, brothers, this is a very important topic because this is where all the problems start. When a man divorces his wife not according to the Sunnah, then he regrets it. Okay? If only, and this is one of the reasons we're studying divorce, we seek Allah's refuge from falling into divorce, right? But we need to know divorce because if not us, then for sure someone we know. For sure someone of our friends is going to go through a divorce. So we should know the proper way for to divorce because in case they change their mind, they can go back to their first decision. But if they have gone through the improper manner of divorce, this is when they might regret it later on and they will permanently for the rest of their life, it might affect their children, their future, everything will be affected. Even the akhirah, because as we know, your spouses in the akhirah are your spouses in this life. Okay? So if only the brothers followed the sunnah manner of divorce, there would never be any regrets. But the problem is that in their anger and because of their ignorance, brothers, they fall into the improper, the bid'i manner of divorce. And this is where the problems arise. So we first talk about the sunnah manner of divorce. What is the proper way to divorce a woman? Okay, so do you understand what we're talking about? We're talking about the proper way to divorce a woman according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, a woman is either going to be in her period or she is going to be in between her two periods. Right, yarhamkumullah, or she will be pregnant. There is no other situation. A woman is either in her period or in between her two periods or pregnant. This is the general woman. I mean, there are always exceptions, but the general woman will be in one of these three situations. Now, the sunnah divorce must take place in between her two periods, not while she is in her period, or when she is pregnant. Okay. The sunnah divorce, the proper way to give a divorce is either when the woman is pregnant or in between the two periods and you have not had intercourse during that period. Okay? Now, the woman, for example, she finished her period on the 6th day of the month. Her next period will be on the, let's say, the 27th of the month. You want to divorce her on the 15th of the month. That means that if you want to do it the sunnah way, you could not have had intercourse with her from the 6th until the 15th of that month. Okay, so that interval period, in between the two periods, you are not allowed to have intercourse with her. If you have had intercourse with her and you want to divorce her, what must you do? You must wait until the next menstrual cycle starts. Wait until that finishes. Wait until she purifies from that menstrual cycle and then not have intercourse with her and then divorce her. Okay? So it is not allowed to divorce a woman. It is haram. A man is sinful if he divorces a woman in her menstrual cycle or in between the two periods and he has that intercourse in that period. So do you understand the scenario? Okay? The example. It's an example. It's not an exact thing. It's an example. Okay? Let's try to keep question, unless you don't understand. If you don't understand, we ask. But if it's question, then we'll keep it to the end. Okay? So if the man divorces his wife in her menstrual cycle, he is sinful. This is a haram, this is a bid'i divorce. We're going to talk about that in a while. Okay? He is sinful for doing so. If the man divorces his wife while she is in between her menses, but he has had intercourse with her before that time, in the same menses, in between the same two menses, then he is also sinful. Okay. Why is this? This goes back to a great wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Specifically during the menstrual cycle. During the menstrual cycle, what happens to the woman? More emotional, right? It's a syndrome, we call it what? PMS, right? PMS is a syndrome that all women go through in their menstrual cycle. What happens during this stage? They become more irritable. They become more angry. They become more emotional. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it forbidden, haram for the man to divorce his wife during that time. Great wisdom of Allah. Because the woman might do things that will make the man so angry, he will divorce her. Yet what is another reason why Allah has made it haram in this time? Goes back to the men now. Because you can't have intercourse with the woman. So what happens to the man now that he hasn't had intercourse for a few days? He himself will become more irritable, right? And more angry fast at the woman, okay? So both factors involved. And this is a great wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has made talaq haram during the menstrual cycle. And if a man does so, he is sinful. Now what happens, we're going to talk about in a while, it's called talaq bid'i or the bid'i, the bid'ah type of divorce. This is not the sunni type of divorce, the sunnah type of divorce. Okay? The sunnah type of divorce, you wait. It's patience. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, do you really want to divorce this woman or not? And He's also making you realize, can you live without this woman or not? So you have to wait. If you have had intercourse with her, you have to wait until either she becomes pregnant. And obviously, when she becomes pregnant, what man is going to divorce his wife, right? He's going to have a child with her. But I'm saying it is allowed when she is pregnant. It is allowed, but you have to wait either until she becomes pregnant or until her next menstrual cycle happens. And then she becomes purified from that. And then you don't have intercourse with her. And then if you want to divorce her, you have to divorce her. You are not allowed to divorce after intercourse in the same, in between the two menstrual cycles. Okay? So this is clear. If it's clear, if it's unclear, otherwise, questions at the end. Okay? It's not clear, okay. Yes. If her period finished and she, you know, purified herself from the period, and you have not had intercourse with her, then you can divorce her. Okay. No. Okay, so this is the talaq of the sunni type. It must be given in this time. The talaq of sunni, we call the sunni type of talaq. It is given at this time. The second thing about the sunni type of talaq is that the man will not repeat the talaq more than once. Either within that same menstrual cycle, in between the two menstrual cycles, or after the second and third menstrual cycle. He doesn't repeat it, just once. So the man wants to divorce his wife, he tells her, I now divorce you, you are now divorced. He says it once, I now divorce you. Now he doesn't say anything about divorce, he doesn't repeat the divorce until her waiting period expires. Why is this? Who can tell me why this is the case? So that just in case the man changes his mind, either during the waiting period or after the waiting period, he still has the option of remarrying the same woman. Okay? So the sunnah type of divorce is that you only give one divorce in this particular timing frame that we mentioned. Okay? So if a person gives more than one divorce, then he is sinful. This is the bid'i type of divorce. And this is where all the problems occur. When the man in his anger, he tells his wife, you are divorced three times. I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you. This is where the problems occur. When the man does not follow the sunnah. When the man turns into the bid'ah type of divorce. Okay? If only the men did the sunnah type of divorce, they would never regret anything. Because if they change their mind in the waiting period, what can they do? Take the woman back. If they change their mind after the waiting period, still there is a chance of getting remarried. Okay, the problem arises when the people turn away from the sunnah, when the people don't follow the sunnah type of divorce. Otherwise, if the man divorces his wife in the proper timing, and he only divorces her once, then he can get back to her, either in the waiting period without her will, whether she likes it or not, or after the waiting period if they both agree to get married again. Okay, so is this clear, the sunnah type of divorce? Two factors must be met. Firstly, the timing of the divorce. Okay, when do you divorce the woman? We talked about this, the sunnah type of divorce. Secondly, the number of divorces also must be only one. Now what some ulama, this is one of the opinions of one of the madhabs, and this is an incorrect opinion because it is very dangerous. Some of the madhabs, in particular like the Hanafi madhab, it states that you should divorce the woman in the proper timing. They all agree about the proper timing. All the scholars are ijma' about the timing issue. Okay, there's difference of opinion about the number issue. So some of the Hanafis, they state that you should divorce the woman in her one menstrual cycle. Wait until the second menstrual cycle finishes, then divorce her again. Then wait until the third menstrual cycle finishes, and this is in the waiting period, remember. And then divorce her again. What have you just done if you follow this procedure? You've taken up your three rights now. And the end of story. This marriage can never take place again. So this is a major problem, and that's why the majority of the ulama, they were against this type of divorce. Only the Hanafis have this type of thing, and this is clearly incorrect. Because the whole point of divorce is that you keep on giving the men and the women options to get married, to get back together again. But if you do it in this manner, then you have given up your rights. Okay, so this is not the proper methodology of divorce. Even though one of the methods they do say this, but this is definitely not the proper methodology. Because if you do it in this manner, the man and the woman can never get back together again. And this is why we have so many problems in India and Pakistan and the countries that are following the Hanafi method. That when a man divorces his wife, he follows this methodology because this is the way that he has been taught. And then he regrets it. After the wedding period is over, he has 5 kids, he has 3 kids, or he wants his wife back. After they separate, he realizes he wants this woman back. This is the woman of his life. But it's too late now. So this is, that's why the problem has started, because they didn't go through the Sunnah methodology of divorce. So we say that this is not the proper methodology of divorce. 2 things must be taken into account. What are the 2 things? The timing of divorce, right? And the number 2 is? The number. And it is only one. The Sunnah divorce is you only give it once. If people only follow the Sunnah divorce, then the chapter of Talaq would be the smallest chapter in the book of fiqh. Very simple. Open shut. The problem is people go into incorrect methodology. That's why we get to so many scenarios, so many ikhtilaf, and people start regretting it. So this is the Sunnah type of divorce. Now the bid'ah type of divorce, this is where all the problems start. The bid'ah type of divorce is when, what happens when you divorce her during her menstrual cycle, or when you divorce her, when you divorce her when she's pregnant. Is this allowed or not? Yes. This is allowed. When you divorce a woman and she is pregnant, this is the Sunnah type of divorce. When you divorce her after having intercourse with her, but before the period starts. Okay, so within that same interval of the period. Okay, this is the bid'i type of divorce. Okay, so the Sunni type of the Sunnah, I say Sunni in the sense, in Arabic called Talaq al-Sunni. Okay, Talaq al-Sunni. But the Sunnah type of divorce, we have just defined it. The bid'i, the innovative type of divorce, is when the man divorces his wife in the menstrual cycle, or he divorces her in that interval between the 2 menstrual cycles in which he has had intercourse with her. Now, what does a man do if he has divorced his wife during the menstrual cycle? This is where all the ikhtilaf starts. Firstly, he is sinful without any doubt. He is sinful. He must repent to Allah for that. Okay? Secondly, and I'm going to zoom over this, I'm going to go over the correct opinion only. I'm not going to go into the different ikhtilafat because it's too long of a chapter. Secondly, he must take that wife back because he did that divorce in the improper time. And this also is of the mercy of Allah, that if a man in his anger, he divorces his wife in the menstrual cycle, okay, then he is commanded to take her back. But when must he take her back? He must take her back, not when her period finishes the first time, but a whole month must go by, the next period must start, the next period must finish, and then he must divorce her again if he wants to. Okay? So, do you understand what I'm talking about? The man has divorced his wife while she is menstruating. Okay, first thing, he is sinful because this is the talaq of the bid'ah. Second thing, he must take her back. So he must take her back now. This is now my wife again. Thirdly, if he wants to divorce her, if he really wants to divorce her, then he must divorce her not after the period finishes, but when? After the second period finishes. Why? Because the period and the purifier, the menstrual blood time, and the purity period after that is considered as one unit. So he must wait the whole unit until the second period starts. And in that interval, he must not have intercourse with her, because he wants to divorce her again. Then, after the second menstrual cycle finishes, he must not have intercourse with her, then divorce her. Okay? So he is sinful, he must take her back, and then if he really wants to divorce her, he has to wait a whole menstrual cycle again, and then divorce her again. Okay? Now, as a penalty, because of what he has done, the first divorce is counted against him. What does this mean? It's counted against him. It means that of his 3 divorces, one has gone. So when he divorces her after the menstrual cycle, how many does he have left? Only one. Because 2 have gone. This is the penalty that will take place if he divorces his wife in the menstrual cycle. What is the evidence for this? Clear evidence in Bukhari and Muslim hadith that Ibn Umar, who is Ibn Umar? Abdullah ibn Umar, right? He divorced his wife while she was menstruating. So Umar, his father, went to the Prophet ﷺ and told him about what he had done. So the Prophet ﷺ became very angry, and his face became red. And this shows you the danger and the evil of divorcing your wife during pregnancy, or during, not pregnancy, excuse me, you're allowed to divorce her when she's pregnant, during menstruation. So the Prophet ﷺ became angry. And then he said, command him meaning? Ibn Umar. Command him to take her back. Command him to take her back. And then wait until she becomes pure, and then wait until she menstruates again. In other words, She has become pure in a few days. Then she has a whole month, and then she becomes menstruating again, and then she finishes the menstruation time. So command him to take her back, and then wait until she becomes pure, and then wait until she has another cycle, and then divorce her if he wants to. Clear, authentic hadith in Bukhari and Muslim. Okay, where the Prophet ﷺ basically commanded Ibn Umar to take his wife back. So when a man divorces his wife and she is menstruating, then he must take her back. As soon as he finds her, as soon as he calms her, or whatever, he must take her back. If he really, now one talaq is counted, one divorce is counted, that's the penalty that he pays for disobeying the Prophet ﷺ. But if he really wants to divorce her, when does he divorce her? After the second menstrual cycle. Now he doesn't have to divorce, he can change his mind and say, okay, you're my wife again. But one talaq has still taken into effect. So he is now down to two strikes. Okay, because he has used up one by disobeying the Prophet ﷺ. He doesn't have to divorce her, but if he wants to divorce her, he has to wait until the second menstrual cycle. And that will be the second divorce, yes. Okay, so if he changes his mind again, then he only has one divorce left. Okay. This is the punishment or the penalty that he pays for disobeying the Prophet ﷺ, the talaq al-bid'i. This is the penalty for it. Okay, otherwise he must take her back, and the first divorce he must change his mind and take her back. But it is still counted against him. Tayyib. So this is the first difference of opinion, the major difference of opinion about the talaq when it occurs during the menstruation, what is to be done, and I just summarized for you the correct opinion. There is a big ikhtilaf about this. Firstly, must you take her back or not? Secondly, is this talaq valid or not? Some ulama, the minority, they say, if a man divorces his wife while she is menstruating, it doesn't matter. It is as if it never occurred. But this goes against the vast majority of the ulama. The vast majority, they say that it does occur. But he is sinful. And they base this on the hadith of Ibn Umar. What did they use? Who knows? We just quoted the hadith. Command him to take her back, right? And then wait until the second menstruation. How do they use this hadith to show that the divorce has occurred? No. Huh? So? No. In other words, exactly, the very fact that the Prophet ﷺ commanded Ibn Umar, take her back, meaning that the divorce had taken place. Or else there would not be a taking back. Okay? Really, when you study fiqh, this is the whole beauty of fiqh, that it's very delicious, really, when you study fiqh, and you find the different opinions and why they say it. It's just hadith, you don't really think about it. But what did the ulama, how did the ulama say that the talaq does take place? Because the Prophet ﷺ commanded him to take her back. If the talaq didn't take place, he wouldn't have to take her back in the first place. He would say there was no divorce. But the Prophet ﷺ commanded him to take her back. In other words, when the husband divorces his wife, while she is menstruating, the divorce does take into effect. The divorce is valid, but he is sinful. So this is what we call talaq bid'i, the bid'at type of talaq. Okay? Is this clear? Tayyib. Now, we move on now to another major problem. Another major problem. And this is when the man goes against the second condition of the talaq al-sunni and he says three talaqs at once. Okay? When he says three talaqs at once. This is also the major problem of not just our times, during Islamic history. The main problem of divorce has been this one. When the men, they don't follow the talaq of sunnah talaq, and they just divorce their wife at once. They say to their wives, you are divorced three times. Or they say, you are divorced, you are divorced, you are divorced. Or they say, I divorce you, the three type of divorce. All at once they say it. Or they do it like the Hanafi say that, you know, one through every menstrual cycle. Okay? This is where the problem arises. Now, this is not the sunnah type of talaq. We said this, right? This is not the sunnah type of talaq. This is the bid'ah type of talaq. But the ulama now have a difference of opinion. Does this three talaq take account in three talaqs, or does it occupy the status of one talaq? You understand this difference? When a man tells his wife, you are divorced, you are divorced, you are divorced. Or he tells her, you are divorced three times. Or he tells her, I divorced you three times. Anything that talks about three. Okay? Does this statement of his equal three, or does it equal one? In other words, does three equal three or three equal one? Get it? No? Okay. Christian joke, anyway. Huh? This is the whole ikhtilaf. Does this three talaq take place as three, or does it take place as one? Now the vast majority of the ulama, of the salaf and of the khalaf and of the four madhabs, they stated the same thing, that three equals three. Three equals three. Okay? They stated that if a man says to his wife, you are divorced three times, or you are divorced, you are divorced, you are divorced, or I divorced you three times. Anything, it doesn't matter. The phrases doesn't matter. The phrases don't matter. The essence is when he divorces her three times in one sitting, in one occasion. The vast majority of the ulama state that this takes the status of three. So he has given up all rights to this woman. Okay? And they base this on authentic narrations from Ibn Abbas. From Ibn Abbas, who had, and other Sahaba of his time, who had this opinion. A man came to the Ibn Abbas and he said that he divorced his wife three times. So Ibn Abbas remained quiet. And then he said, one of you goes forth and makes a fool out of himself. Okay, well, how did he make a fool out of himself? By not following the Sunnah type of divorce. Okay? One of you goes about and makes a fool out of himself. And then he comes to me, Ya Ibn Abbas, what can I do? Ibn Abbas got angry at this man. He said, a man goes and makes a fool out of himself. He makes a fool out of himself by not following the Sunnah. And then he comes to me, Ya Ibn Abbas, you're going to find a solution? He said, no, Allah says in the Quran, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. This is Surah Talaq, verse 2. That whoever fears Allah, Allah will make a way out for him. So Ibn Abbas said, you did not fear Allah. Therefore Allah has not made a way out for you. How do you not fear Allah? By not following the Sunnah. By divorcing his wife at once. Okay? So Ibn Abbas said, you have disobeyed your Lord by doing this, and your wife is now irrevocably divorced from you. The three divorce. Okay? So they're no longer husband and wife. This is the irrevocable divorce. The major irrevocable divorce. Three times. Now he regrets it though, because in a state of anger he said it. If he doesn't regret it, it doesn't matter. This is a whole ikhtilaf. Does 3 equal 3 or 3 equal 1? And the majority said 3 equals 3. Whether he was angry or whatever, the divorce has taken effect as 3. So the woman is now permanently haram for him until she marries another man and divorces or dies and then comes back. Okay? He is sinful for that, yeah. He is sinful for that, according to the majority of ulama. He is sinful for that. This is what Ibn Abbas told him. You have disobeyed your Lord. Okay? So the man, as a penalty for what he has done, and this is the danger of divorce. Brothers and sisters, what do we say about divorce? The Prophet said three things. Whether you joke or you are serious, it doesn't matter. And one of them was divorce. So if a man says to his wife jokingly, oh, I divorce you. Jokingly he says this, this is one divorce, one strike. You don't joke about divorce. You don't joke about divorce. This is something many brothers don't realize. This is something that Allah has put in your hands as a responsibility. Divorce is in the hands of the man, not the woman. So therefore, Allah has blessed you with, or not blessed you, but given you this responsibility, so you should act up to this responsibility. You should not mess around with this responsibility. Okay? So if a man jokes with his wife, just jokingly, I divorce you. Khalas, this is one strike. And if he does this three times, this is three strikes. This is three strikes and the wife has become haram for him. Do not joke about divorce. Divorce is something that, if you state it upon your tongue, whether you are joking or serious, that is now one strike is against you. One point or one of your three times of divorce has been taken away. Okay? So whether the man was, you know, very angry and he says it and he goes, oh, I'm sorry, I was angry, I didn't really need to divorce, I just got angry, it doesn't matter. It does not matter. This is why, by the way, divorce is in the hands of the man and not the woman. Because if the divorce were in the hands of the woman, what would happen? She would divorce her husband anytime she gets angry. Okay? But you're laughing, but I say men, when they misuse this, they fall into the same category as women now. This is the responsibility. That is why Allah has given the responsibility to men and not to women, because they have certain responsibilities, they have certain faculties that men, that women don't do. They can control their emotions better than women. That is why Allah has given them the responsibility. So when the man becomes angry and he divorces his wife in anger, he must taste the penalty of what he has done. He must taste the penalty for what he has done, because he has shown that he is not capable of this responsibility. Okay? If he did not intend to divorce her and he divorced her in a fit of anger, it doesn't matter. Afterwards he say, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't really, I just got angry. The only time, by the way, there's a footnote, an important footnote. The only time divorce does not take into account is when the man is forced to do divorce. Or he is, his brain is now gone. Either he is, you know, they injected him with some drugs or something, or basically he became crazy. Or he was, a gun was put to his head and it was said, you divorce your wife or I'll kill you. Otherwise, a man gets angry and he divorces his wife. A man is joking and divorces his wife, it doesn't matter. The divorce will take place. The only time when divorce does not take place, even though the man has uttered it or written it down, writing has the same status as saying it. The only time is when either he is literally forced to, a matter of life and death forced to, that I'll kill you or I'll kill your wife or I'll kill your daughter or something, unless you divorce. In this case, obviously, it's as if he, no effect whatsoever. Or his brain was taken away. He went crazy, that someone injected him with some drugs that, altered his mind or whatever, that he had no memory of what he had done. Okay? Otherwise, the divorce will take into account. If it's questions to the end, but if you don't understand, then no.
What if the person is ignorant about this?
Doesn't matter. Ignorance is not a factor. This is the whole point. That is why we are doing this class. And that is why we want you to go and spread this news to everyone. Because this is the whole problem. People divorce out of ignorance, they haven't studied the sunnah, then they start regretting it. That's what Ibn Abbas himself said. One of you becomes a fool, makes a fool out of himself, and then he says, Oh Ibn Abbas, I can't cure your situation. This is what Ibn Abbas said. Another man came to Ibn Abbas and he said, I divorced my wife 100 times. So Ibn Abbas said, you have disobeyed your Lord, and you have cut off your wife from you. Okay? This is also an authentic narration in Ad-Darqutni. Another man said, gets funnier. He said, I divorced my wife 1,000 times. What can I do now? 1,000 times he divorces his wife. Ibn Abbas said the same thing. He said, it doesn't matter whether you did 3 or 1,000. Khalas, end of story. Another man said, I divorced my wife the number of stars in the sky. So he said, he told his wife, I divorce you the number of stars there are in the sky. That's how many times I divorce you. So he got real angry. Okay? So he said, as many stars are in the sky, that's how many times I divorce you.
So,
doesn't matter. Because the point was, he tried to divorce her 1 million or 2 million times. So Ibn Abbas said the same thing, that you have made a mistake, you have not followed the sunnah, and your wife is now separated from you. Okay? No, the woman doesn't have to hear it.
But he has to speak out. Right?
Or he has to write it or something. He has to verbally express it. If he thinks divorce but he doesn't express it, of course not. She doesn't have to be there for him to get. Let's get to the questions at the end though. Before we, you're the one that's saying, by the way, don't ask questions at the end, till the end. Okay? So, practice what you preach. And preach what you practice. Okay, tayyib. Now we get into, what do we talk about? The talaq of the bid'ah, right? Now we said the majority, they say that 3 equals 3. What does that mean? Means there is a minority and they say that 3 equals 1. Okay? And who said this opinion? The most famous scholar who said this opinion is Ibn Taymiyyah. Okay? Ibn Taymiyyah and also his student Ibn Al-Qayyim. They said that if a man divorces his wife 3 times in one sitting, in one occasion, then this qualifies as one divorce only. Okay? Now this goes against the majority of the ulama, and I have researched this issue semi-thoroughly, and I am totally confused. Okay? Totally confused, because there are strong evidences on both sides. So, the point is, don't fall into this situation. There is a big ikhtilaf on both sides. The majority of the ulama, the 4 madhhabs, have agreed. And by the way, one of the main points that Ibn Taymiyyah's enemies brought against him till this day, Noah Amin Keller and his company, then one of the main things they bring against Ibn Taymiyyah is that he went against the ijma' by saying that 3 equals 1. Okay? Now this is not correct. There was no ijma'. What does ijma' mean? Unanimous consensus. There was no ijma', and in fact this book, Ibn Rushd, okay, Ibn Rushd died 595. When did Ibn Taymiyyah die? 720 something, 200 years later. Ibn Rushd discusses the difference of opinion. Okay, and he says that the Zahiris or the literalists, they held this opinion. So there was not ijma', there was no unanimous consensus. But we say the majority of ulama, they said 3 equals 3. So when Ibn Taymiyyah came and said 3 equals 1, it was something strange and unique to them. So that is one of the main points they leveled against Ibn Taymiyyah, that he said 3. What kind of proof did he have? He had a very good proof, a hadith of the Prophet himself, that if a person divorced his wife more than once in one sitting in the Prophet's lifetime, they would consider it as one. Likewise in Abu Bakr's time. Likewise in the first period of Umar's time. But then when Umar saw that people were becoming lax in divorce, then he said, we will give the people what they want. So whenever a man divorces his wife 3 times, he would count it as 3. So this was Umar's policy. This is a hadith that they have. Umar changed it according to this hadith. Yes. Now this hadith is in and of itself a difference between is it authentic or not. Okay, it's in Sunan Abi Dawud. It's not in Bukhari and Muslim, it's in Sunan Abi Dawud. Okay. No, actually it is in Muslim, excuse me. It is in Muslim. It is not in Bukhari, it is in Muslim. Okay. So there's a big ikhtilaf about this hadith and the interpretation of this hadith, and we don't want to get into the details of that. And I don't have an opinion on this myself. It is a very confusing issue. Like I said, strong ikhtilaf on both sides. For example, Ibn Abbas has so many riwayat that 3 equals 3, like we just mentioned, 4 or 5 of them. Right? Likewise, he is one of those people that narrated the hadith, that 3 equals 1. So it is very confusing. You know, it's a big, juicy ikhtilaf, like I like to call it. Okay, big, juicy ikhtilaf. So I don't have an opinion on this issue, but I say it's a very dangerous ikhtilaf. Okay? I mean, the majority said 3 equals 3. Okay, so don't just play around with this ikhtilaf. The majority said 3 equals 3. According to one opinion, yes. This is a minority opinion. Okay. Now, what does a man do in the situation? If this does happen, he goes to the alim of his locality that he trusts, and he gets his opinion on this. Okay. He doesn't shop for fatwas. This is not allowed to shop for fatwas. Whatever fatwa is the easiest for you, you take it. This is not allowed. Okay. Otherwise, you know, there would be no ikhtilaf. I mean, you always find the easiest fatwa and you follow it, and you don't have a Islamic life anymore. You know, you don't shop for fatwas. What is obligatory, even though the ikhtilaf exists, doesn't mean you have the right to pick and choose based upon your desires. Either you're a student of knowledge and you research the issue and you come to a conclusion based on the evidences, or you just follow the alim that you trust. Okay? The student of knowledge that you trust, you call him up, you ask him, whatever he says, that is now binding upon you. Okay? You are not allowed to pick and choose fatwas based on convenience, if you're qualified to research, yes. Okay? Because if a person doesn't know usul al-fiqh, he doesn't know how to you know, see if hadith is sahih or da'if or not, then he is not qualified to, you know, pick an opinion on his own. You see. Anyway, we're straying from the topic. The point is, if a man divorces his wife 3 times at once, then the majority of the ulama, they said that 3 equals 3. So then in this case, it becomes permanently haram for him. This one becomes permanently haram for him. Okay? Tayyib. We already talked about divorce in the time of the menstruation. We said that the majority of the ulama, they said that divorce at the time of menstruation is effective. It does take place. But what is the penalty upon him? He must take her back. He must wait another menstrual cycle. And then if he wants to divorce her, he can divorce her. But he is sinful for doing that divorce. Now we get to a different topic, and that is, how do you give divorce? Okay? How do you give divorce? There are 2 ways of giving divorce. You're interrupting the lesson again. Astaghfirullah. Anyway, there are 2 ways of getting divorced, giving divorce that the scholars talk about. There is the explicit method, and then there is the implicit. MashaAllah, you guys are smart. There is the explicit method, and then there is the implicit method. The explicit method is when the man, what does he do? Explicitly says it. That I divorce you. Okay? Or you are divorced. Or there is now a divorce. I mean, basically, he uses the word talaq or divorce or whatever language he's saying, he uses that word of divorce. Okay? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether he's in front of her or she's in front of her. It doesn't matter. If he says it, okay, then the divorce has taken into effect. Or if he writes it to her, doesn't matter. He doesn't have to say he writes it to her. Or he doesn't even emails it, whatever. It doesn't matter. Any form. It's not funny, guys, the topic. Any form of communication, as long as it comes outside of him. And the scholar said, if he is, whatchamacallit, if he can't speak, right, and he can't write, yet he somehow sign languages to her that he is divorced, or she is divorced, still it takes into effect. Okay? Basically, he has to express it. But he has to use the word of divorce, in whatever language he's talking about. Talaq, right, divorce, another word for divorce in another language, I don't know. Basically, he has to use the word of divorce. So this is called an explicit divorce. In this case, it doesn't matter whether he was joking or serious or angry or his intentions, doesn't matter. If he used that word, then the divorce is to take place. And this shows you the responsibility that Allah has given to men, not to women. And this shows that the men should act their role, that use it only when they want to use it. Okay? Unfortunately, we find too many men, when they get angry, they just pronounce divorce as if they're throwing candies or something, you know? Astaghfirullah, I don't realize this. A man divorces his wife in 3 fits of anger 3 times, this is 3 divorces now. This woman is now haram for him, and he's living with her as if in zina. He should not use this word in vain. It's a responsibility that Allah has given the men, and not the women, and this is why He has given it to men, and not to women. Okay? So, we stated that if he uses the word divorce, does his intentions matter? If he were to say, well, I was just joking, or he says, I was just angry, it just came out, I didn't really mean to divorce her. Does it matter? No, because he said an explicit way of divorce. In this category or in this manner of divorce, intentions are irrelevant. This is why the Prophet said three things. Whether you're joking or serious, it doesn't matter. Okay? Now the implicit divorce. What is the implicit divorce? Who can give an example of the implicit divorce? Very good. Where you use words that are not explicit in their meaning. Okay? Now the scholars have a zillion and one examples, but obviously you cannot give all the examples. Basically, you say something that is unclear. Okay? So, for example, the scholars have said that a man might say, you are free of me, or I am free of you, or you are now a free woman, or this is now over between us, or you can now marry whoever you want. Okay? Or your rope is on your back, meaning this is like an expression, you would have your stuff on your back, so your rope is now on your back, not on my back. Okay? I mean, they have a whole list of impressions. For example, he'll say, I have no need of you, or you have no need of me, or these type of phrases that are vague in their meaning. Okay, they're imprecise. They're not explicit, obviously. That's why we call it an implicit divorce. In this case, the intention is relevant. In this case, the intention is relevant. So if the man says to his wife, I don't have any need of you, and he intended to divorce her, what does this mean? One divorce. If he says in anger, I have no need of you, then he was asked, did you intend to divorce her? And he says, no, I just said it in anger. Is a divorce counted? No. Okay? So this is very important. This is very important that in this type of wording, the intention is taken into account. Okay? So if the man intended to divorce her, and this happened, by the way, there was a case that a few months ago, a sister came to me and said, my husband said to me, go back to your husband's house. I mean, go back to your parents' house. It's over between us. Okay? Is this divorce or not? So basically, it goes back to the intention of the man. Did he intend to divorce her by saying what he said? If he did intend to divorce her, then the divorce has taken place. Otherwise, no, it has not taken place. So in an implicit type of a divorce, the intention does count, whereas in the explicit type of a divorce, the intention does not count. Okay? Locking the woman out of the house. First of all, it is haram for him to do so. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, never leave your wife alone except in her house. You are never allowed to leave your wife in the middle of a place as a punishment for her. Okay, in a strange land, or this is haram, and the man has fallen short of his duty as a husband, if he does so. So you are not allowed to lock your wife out of the house, or, you know, just leave her in Hawaii in the middle of nowhere or something. This is not allowed. Okay? Even if she has a credit card. It's not allowed. Okay? You have to take care of her. The Prophet said you cannot leave her alone except in her house. The only place you can leave her alone as a punishment is in her house. In other words, if the man goes out of the house angry, right, and he leaves the wife at home, then he is not sinful. He is still sinful. He is sinful for doing this. But this is not considered divorce. Okay? This is not considered divorce. If he does lock her out of the house, okay, this is not considered divorce, even though he is not being a man or a husband. Okay? In a way, yes. Okay. Tayyib. Now, what were we talking about? We're losing track of what we're talking about now? Okay, implicit and explicit divorces. So we finished that. Very simple, right? Another point, it is also allowed for a man to put a condition upon the divorce. Okay? What do I mean by condition? This is another chapter, another topic. We call it conditional divorce. Okay? Conditional divorce. What is a conditional divorce? For example, he will tell the woman, if you go to so-and-so's house, then you will be divorced. Or if I see you talking to so-and-so, you will be divorced. Or whatever condition, if you eat this food, particular type of food, you will be divorced. Okay? It doesn't matter whether the condition makes sense or not. But the point is, if he puts the divorce on a condition, then whenever that condition is met, what happens? The divorce takes place. So the man tells the wife, if you go visit that man, if you see that man or talk to that man, you will be divorced. If she goes and does that, she is automatically divorced. Whether he knows of it or not. Then when he finds out, that is one divorce. Okay? But if that conditional divorce will take into effect when the condition is met. So this is allowed. Okay? This is allowed. That the man will put the divorce upon a condition. That if you do this, then you will be divorced. Okay? Now, implicit conditions such as what? Well, it depends on his intention then. It goes back to implicit divorce. It depends on his intention. If he intended divorce, then it will be a divorce. Okay? But the point is, so the husbands also have to be careful that when they threaten their wives, right? So for example, the husband does have the right to tell the wife where to go, where not to go. He can tell the wife, don't leave my house. He can tell her, don't go there or go there. This is part of the husband's duty or right that he has. So if he gets angry that she was with a certain sister or a certain brother even, which is much worse. I mean, he has every right to get angry there. But if the sister is not very good or practicing, or even a non-Muslim, he gets angry and he tells her, if you go visit that woman again, then you will be divorced. I will divorce you. Okay? Or you will be divorced. Okay? Then, he has to be careful, because if she ever does visit that sister intentionally, you know, that does take place, then what happens? The divorce has taken place. So again, I go back to this point over and over again, divorce as a responsibility that Allah has entrusted men with for a reason. That they are intelligent, that they are more intelligent than the women, that they can control their desires and their emotions more than women. So therefore, the men have to act up to this role. Okay? So we have to be careful about conditional divorce also. Now there's a little joke here, which I read in a Islamic joke book. There are Islamic joke books, by the way, where they have a fiqhish, jokes of a fiqhi nature, where a man wanted to divorce his wife, okay? So, she climbed up a ladder to get to the roof of the house. So he told her, if you continue climbing on the ladder, you're gonna be divorced. So she stopped. Then she started coming down. So he told her, if you continue climbing down the ladder, you're gonna be divorced. So now what did she do? She stopped, right? So now he told her, if you stay stationary on the ladder, you will also be divorced. Okay? So, she has no options left, right? So she thought a millisecond, then what did she do? She jumped out of the ladder onto the floor. She jumped, she didn't go down, she didn't go up, and she didn't remain on the ladder. So she jumped out onto the floor. So the man stared at her. And he said, SubhanAllah. This was at the time of Imam Malik. He said, SubhanAllah. May Allah give you a long life. Because once Imam Malik dies, people are going to need to come to you for their fiqh. Don't you get it? She displayed such intelligence, okay, that he was marveling. It's a joke they have. It's that she displayed such intelligence, SubhanAllah, may Allah give you a long life. Now he changed his mind apparently. So, may Allah give you a long life. Because once Imam Malik dies, you're going to be the faqih of Medina. Okay? Because of her intelligence. It's just a joke. It's nothing to do with our fiqh class. Anyway, but the point is, conditional divorce does take into place and effect. Okay, another chapter, another section now, briefly, the husband is also allowed to give the power of divorce to someone else. He is allowed to give the power of divorce to someone else. And in particular, he is allowed to give it to his wife also. Okay, obviously if he can give it to someone else, he can give it to his wife. What does this mean? The husband will tell his wife, I give you the option of divorce if you want. So the husband, he is the one whose hand is divorcing, always the husband. The wife does not have the right of divorce ever until the husband gives it to her. So the husband will tell the wife, I give you the right of divorce. That you now have the right, if you want to remain with me, you can remain. If you want to divorce, then it will count as a divorce. When the husband does this, then it is valid only for that sitting period, for that time when he gives it to her. It's not applicable 10 years later. Okay? When he gives her the right of divorce, it is applicable only at that time, but he has the right of saying, you have the right of divorce for the rest of our married life. So he has the right to give it to her permanently. But if he doesn't specify a time limit, how long does she have it? For that period when he gives it to her, immediately. So when the husband tells his wife, you have the right of divorce, then automatically, if she says, well, I choose divorce, then this will count as one divorce. Okay? This will count as one divorce. Because the husband has the right, because the divorce is in his hands. Just like the wali is in his hands, he can give the wilayah, he can give the wilayah over to another person, right? We talked about this, right? The wali can say to his brother or to his uncle or whatever, you be the wali. Likewise, the man can say to someone else and also to his wife, the right of divorce is with you now. Okay? So this also is something that the brothers have to realize, that they have the right to give it to someone else and also especially to the woman, they have the right to give it. And if the woman wants to divorce, then she can do so. There's another book, there's another incident here, also found in the fiqh book. It's not really a joke book, but it's not really a joke. It's something that, you know, a very good story. It's one of the grandchildren of the Prophet, either Hussein or Hassan, I forgot who, that he was married to a certain woman for a long period of time. then certain problems happened between them. Okay, so because of his good nature, he didn't divorce her. He told her, if you want, then you have the right of divorce. So he basically, what did he do? He gave the right to her. Okay, then all of a sudden he regretted that, because he did want to remain married to her. So he regretted that, and you could see it on his face that he regretted that. So his wife responded to him that you had this right in your hand for 20-25 years, and you gave it to me for an hour or two. You showed so much responsibility when you had this right for so long. Don't you think that I have more of a right to show this responsibility for such a small period of time? So what is she saying? Stay with him. Okay? So the point of this is that, you know, it's a nice story. I mean, you know, the woman told him, when I forgot, it was Hassan or Hussein, when he showed these signs of being a bit, anxious that she might divorce me because I've given her this right, she then responded back that you had this right for so long and you took so good care of this right. Okay, don't you think that it's more obligatory upon me that I have this right for such a small period of time that I take care of it also? Okay, so she gave it back to the husband, the right of divorce. Okay, but the point is that it is allowed to give the right to someone else, the right of divorce to someone else. Before we move on to the next chapter of Khula, we have to talk about the divorce of the woman with whom you have not had intercourse with. Okay, the divorce of the woman with whom you have not had intercourse with. What did we say firstly about mahar? What happens when you divorce a woman whom you have not entered? What happens to the mahar? Half, exactly. You have half the mahar. You have half the mahar. Okay, However, what is the sunnah type of divorce and what is the bid'ah type of divorce concerning the woman with whom you have not entered, you have not had intercourse with? You married a woman, the nikah is done. You haven't consummated the marriage, you want to divorce her. What is the sunnah matter of divorce? There is none. There is none because you haven't had intercourse with her, so you can divorce her at any time. Okay? Do you understand what I'm talking about or not? Yeah, you do it once, but the point is, this is a special scenario, that when you marry a woman, the nikah, the contract has been finished, but you have not had intercourse with her, you have not consummated the marriage, in this case, there is no sunni or bid'ah, there is no sunnah or bid'ah divorce, it's just a divorce. Why is there no sunnah or bid'ah divorce? Because you never had intercourse with her in the first place, right? So there is no time period, or there is no, you never had intercourse. So if you divorce her in her menstruation, no big deal. Doesn't matter. Because you're not with her, you're not, you know, you haven't been alone with her, you have just, the marriage contract has been done. Okay? You haven't had intercourse with her, so you divorce her. So there is no sunnah or bid'ah when it comes to whom? Guys, interactive, I liked it. When it comes to those type of women that you have married but you have not had intercourse with. Likewise, there is no sunnah or bid'ah when it comes to women that don't have periods. Because certain women, they don't have periods, and old women, they don't have periods. Okay? Menopausal, right? Menopause, yeah. So when a woman is after her menopause, there is no sunnah or bid'ah, because there is no time period you can wait for. You see what I'm saying? The general rule is that the divorce must take place either when she is pregnant. Now, can a woman that you haven't touched be pregnant yet? We hope not. Can a woman who is postmenopausal be pregnant? Of course not. So then, you can't divorce when she's pregnant. The second time you divorce her is in between two menstrual cycles where you have not had intercourse with. Now, if you haven't had intercourse with her, and she's still your wife, but you haven't had intercourse with her, then this time will not apply. Likewise, when she is past her menstruation cycle, can she have two menstrual cycles in between? Can she have a pure time between two menstrual cycles? No, because she doesn't have menses in the first place. Am I going too fast, or is it... You understand? The postmenopausal woman, does she have menstrual cycles? No. So how can you divorce her in between two menstrual cycles which you haven't touched her? There is none. Therefore, you just divorce her at any time. Likewise, the woman that you have not entered, can she ever be pregnant, or is there any need to check if she's pregnant or not? No. So therefore, you can divorce her at any time. So there is no sunnah or bid'ah divorce when it comes to these two categories of women. This is the point. There is no sunnah or bid'ah divorce. Huh? No, there is no waiting period. A woman is pregnant, you divorce her. If you want to divorce her, you divorce her right as soon as you find out that she is pregnant. The waiting period, we're going to talk about tomorrow or Monday. But I'm saying, can you divorce her when she is pregnant? Yes. You can divorce a woman when she is pregnant. This is the sunnah type of divorce. It is not the bid'ah type of divorce. We are not saying it is sunnah to divorce your wife when she's pregnant. We are saying this is the sunnah type of divorce, okay? That if you divorce your wife when she is pregnant, then this is the proper way of divorce, if you want to divorce her. The waiting period we're going to come to on Monday, inshallah. We're not talking about the waiting period, how long it is right now. But we're talking about that. Tayyib. Now, when another chapter now, another section, when does the man have the right to take his wife back? We said there are two conditions, right? When the man has the right to take his wife back after divorce. What are these two conditions? Didn't say, still the waiting period, because the waiting period changes. She didn't finish the waiting period, and the second one is? What is the second condition? Is the first or second divorce. The opposite of that chapter is, when does the husband not have the right of taking the woman back? Okay, there are four scenarios. When does the husband not have the right, even though he did do the divorce or the marriage was ended? The first scenario, or the first situation when the husband does not have the right of taking the woman back, is when the woman pays for her divorce, which is called khula. Okay, we're going to discuss khula on Monday. But just write down khula. In a khula, when the khula has taken place, the man does not have the right to change his mind, even if it is the waiting period. Okay, we're going to discuss khula on Monday, because we've run out of time. But in khula, the husband does not have the right to change his mind. What is khula? We talked about khula briefly. What is khula? The woman pays the man to divorce her. Okay? The woman ransoms herself. Basically, it's exactly what khula is. Khula means to take off, to throw away. So the woman throws away her husband by giving him money. She gets rid of her husband by giving him money, and the husband then does khula. So in a khula, does the husband have the right to change his mind after the khula? No. This is the first scenario. The second scenario is before the consummation of the marriage, before he has touched her, before he has had intercourse with her, he divorces her. In this case, he does not have the right to change his mind. Okay, so a woman and a man, they got married, but they didn't consummate the marriage. The man divorces the woman. Does he have the right to change his mind now, take this woman back as his wife? No, he does not have this right. No, they have to wait until the waiting period is over and then do a new marriage, if they want. But he does not have the right to change his mind. Why? Because he had not had intercourse with her. Yeah, there's only once. The khula, no, we're going to talk about that tomorrow, or Monday, inshallah. Yeah. The third, yes, a new marriage, new agreement, new mahar, new wali, or not new wali, the same wali, but new agreement of the wali. Okay. No. Okay. The third, the waiting period is different. Okay. The waiting period for the woman that you divorce, but you haven't touched, you haven't had intercourse with, there is no waiting period. Okay. There is no waiting period. Because you haven't touched her, why is there a waiting period? You haven't had intercourse with her. So Allah clearly says in the Quran that if you divorce women before you touch them, then they have no iddah whatsoever. This is Surah Ahzab, verse 49. Surah Ahzab, verse 49 states that if you divorce women before you touch them, meaning before you have intercourse with them, then there is no iddah upon them. No waiting period whatsoever. We're going to discuss waiting period. We're jumping the gun. We're going to discuss waiting periods on Monday, inshallah. Okay, because waiting period varies depending on the type of divorce. The third type of breaking of the marriage in which the man does not have the right to change his mind is fasakh, annulment. We talked about annulment, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously, when the marriage is annulled, can the man take the wife back? Suppose we discover that she's his foster sister. Can he change his mind or something? No. It's an annulment of the marriage. The marriage is now annulled. So obviously the man does not have the right in his hand to take her back. And the fourth time is when he has divorced his wife three times. After he has divorced his wife three times, then he does not have the right to take his wife back. Okay? After he has sinned his three times, then his chances are over. She must marry another man. Once she marries another man, if that marriage comes to an end for some reason, then she can marry her first husband. Once she marries her first husband, how many chances do they have now? Three. A fresh, clean slate now. Okay? She now has three chances, or he has three chances for divorce again. With that, we have almost finished divorce. We have a few sub-sections left. Divorce was, we really glossed over it, because the major ikhtilaf in divorce, by the way, the major ikhtilaf in divorce, there are two major ikhtilafs in divorce. The first major one is, does the divorce that takes place in the menstruation have effect or not? And we said, what is the correct opinion? Yes, it does. And the second major ikhtilaf is, if you do go against the sunnah, if you do the bid'ah type of divorce, if you do go against the sunnah, and you combine all three in one, does that three equal three, or does that three equal one? And what did I say? Majority says yes, minority says no, I say I don't know. Okay? Yes. No, I say if you do so, you are sinful. This is not the sunnah way of divorce. This is, we don't say in this manner, we say this is not the proper way of divorce. Okay? This is why it's important to study usul al-fiqh, okay? The question that the brother asked was that if Allah does not allow divorce, three divorces at once, then how come it has the effect of three? Because if something that's not allowed should not take into effect. This goes back to a very big ikhtilaf of usul al-fiqh, okay? Does something that is not allowed have an effect or not? This is the question. Does something that is allowed have an effect or not? Let me give you an example. Is zina allowed? Why are you thinking so long? You're scaring me. Is zina allowed?
No.
Okay, a man has intercourse with a woman. Zina. Now we know that a man is not allowed to marry his mother-in-law, for example. The fact that he has had zina with a woman, does that make that woman's mother haram for him or not? According to your principle, then no. According to what you just said, then no, it wouldn't make that woman haram for him. He could marry that woman. Even though he had sex with her daughter, right? He could marry that woman and then divorce and marry the daughter or whatever he wants. Okay? Okay, this is one opinion. The majority say that it does account. That even though that was haram for him to do zina in the first place, it does have an effect. And that is that it makes the woman's mother and the woman's daughter haram for him. You're getting into circular argument because Allah says nikah. And nikah... No, this is the whole ikhtilaf is what I'm saying. This is the whole ikhtilaf. No, the point is this is where the whole ikhtilaf comes, you see. This is the whole point of the ikhtilaf. Does this take into effect or not? Ibn Taymiyyah and others say that it doesn't. But the majority say it does. That's exactly what Umar said, that we will give him what he wants. He wants three, he's going to get three. Okay? And also Ibn Abbas says the same thing. That's the whole point. Ibn Abbas, when the man came to him and said three times, he said, you have disobeyed your Lord. In other words, you have been sinful, and therefore your woman has been separated from you. Tayyib, can you revoke condition before its condition is met? Yes, you have the right to change your mind. If you put a condition on the divorce and then you change your mind, then it is as if the divorce did not, you never said the divorce in the first place. There are too many questions to answer by the way before Maghrib. So I'm just saying that because last time the sisters got angry, I didn't answer all the questions. There are too many to answer. If a lady annuls by conversion, she converts back, must he remarry her or can he just take her back? There is a khilaf that if the woman has become non-Muslim, like for example Hindu, automatically the marriage has become fasakh. Now suppose she returns back to Islam, do they need a new marriage contract or not? Well, for sure, if the waiting period is over, then he should do a new one. The difference is within the waiting period if he comes back or not, and it seems as if Allah knows best, he doesn't need a new marriage contract if she comes back to Islam within the waiting period. If you set a condition of divorce, then divorce for another reason, then you found out that she broke the condition of divorce during the marriage, is this two divorces or one? It is two. Because whether the husband knows or not, if you tell, for example, your wife, if you go to this place, you are divorced, when she goes there, she is divorced. Whether you find out about it or not. If that condition was still in place and you didn't change your mind. Now you divorce her again, then she taunts you, well, you already divorced me before. That's two, not one. Okay? That's two, not one, because the condition of divorce did take place. You said the sunnah way, did the Prophet ﷺ ever divorce? The sunnah way, meaning this is the way that is narrated or outlined in the sunnah. Not necessarily that the Prophet ﷺ did divorce and... contrary to popular opinion, the Prophet ﷺ did divorce. Does the husband have to have a valid reason why he divorced his wife? If he divorced his wife the proper way, will he still be responsible to annul, to what? To Allah for the divorce. We already mentioned in the beginning that in general divorce is something that is discouraged. Okay, so if a man divorces his wife for no reason, this is something that is discouraged, okay? But it is not haram. It is not haram. I don't know of any alim that says it is haram. So he is not sinful. But it is discouraged to divorce your wife for no reason, okay? If a woman is being beaten by her husband, how can she divorce him if she does not have the right to divorce? Attend on Monday, inshallah you will find out. This is the whole point of khula. If a man gives a condition for divorce and it doesn't take place, can he remove that condition? Yes, we already mentioned he can. It's his right to divorce his condition. If someone was ignorant and divorced three times his wife and once her back, will tawbah be enough, especially now when there is no Islamic State, etc.? Who will enforce the divorce or no one knows about it? Can they take it back or is there a time period? Under the four you mentioned, when a man cannot change his mind to take it back, is the only one where they can remarry without a new contract? Hold on a second, two different questions. Okay, the first question. Like I said, you can't pick and choose your opinion based upon easiness. So, because there is an ikhtilaf, right, you have two options. Either become an alim or a student of knowledge and make your own opinion, right, which is not really very practical. Or you just choose an alim or a student of knowledge that you trust. Not based on ease or whatever, you know. In fact, it's probably best you don't even know what his opinion is at the beginning. You choose an alim that you trust. This alim, I feel that he has researched the issue thoroughly. What is his opinion? Follow it. You are not allowed to pick and choose opinions based on easiness. If you were to do so, look brothers, some scholars have allowed music. Some scholars have allowed mut'ah, marriage. Some scholars have allowed some types of fornication. Some scholars have allowed some type of interest. If you were to combine all of these things, then you'd be drinking and dancing and having mut'ah and, you know, taking interest. You can become a fasiq. The scholars say that a man who follows the easy opinions of the scholars becomes a fasiq. The man who hunts and shops for the easy fatwas, he becomes a fasiq. You're not allowed to shop for fatwas. So you follow the one alim that you trust or feel is the best and you move on with your life. Unless you become a student of knowledge. Now only the four that you mentioned, if a man cannot change, is the only number one where they may remarry without a new contract. What is number one? The four conditions that I mentioned. What is number one? I didn't remember. Guys, I mentioned four things where the man does not have the right to take the wife back. What is number one? Also, this question was, is this the only one where they may not remarry with a new contract? No, we're going to talk about that type in the next lesson, Monday. Everything to do with the khula, we're going to talk about Monday, inshallah. If I understand correctly, even pronouncing one or two divorces in the sunnah way is enough. The couple's actually divorced. They only have the option to remarry. Yes, of course, they have the option to remarry. It doesn't mean that they have to remarry. They have the option of getting remarried if they want to. Not they, the husband. Because the husband has the right to change his mind during the waiting period. Once the waiting period is over, then they must both agree to the marriage. During the waiting period, if the husband says, no, I don't want you back as a husband, doesn't matter. Allah clearly says in the Quran that the husbands have the right to take their wives back during the waiting period. Yes, it counts as one divorce. That's the whole point. So during the waiting period, the husband has the right. After the waiting period is over, now the wife, if they want to remarry, the wife must agree, the wali and the mahar and everything must be done. Okay? The sister asked, on what basis do you say that women are less intelligent than men? This is an authentic hadith in Sahih Bukhari, that the Prophet said that the women are naqifat wa aqlin wa deen, that women have less half as intelligent or less intelligent than men, and are also less religious than men. This is an authentic hadith, and all of the ulama have understood it the way that it should be understood on its literal face value, except in our times these modern day people have understood differently. But otherwise this is something that all the ulama have agreed upon. If the husband does not pray, drinks, gamble, etc., can the wife divorce her husband? Yeah, told them. Can the wife divorce her husband? We're going to talk about this on Monday, the khula. Yes. SubhanAllah.